we now are coming, as we keep going in the life of Paul, to a personal report that he's given. And we see this in 2 Corinthians 11 at verse 24. Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. And many Bible interpreters believe that Paul's referring to his experience, those personal experiences in Tarsus, when he outlines certain sufferings in his second letter to the Corinthians. More specifically, Paul had stated that he received those lashes, minus one. Furthermore, that he even received this kind of punishment a total of five times. This kind of flogging was a form of synagogue discipline. The apostles had already experienced that kind of punishment in Jerusalem shortly after the church was born. And members of the Sanhedrin became so jealous and angry, they wanted to put the apostles to death. However, Gamaliel, Paul's old mentor, persuaded his colleagues not to take that kind of extreme action, that the kind of murderous action that would later take place toward Stephen. Consequently, they settled for 40 lashes minus one. And Luke records that they called the apostles in and had them flogged, and in order them not to speak in the name of Jesus, then they let them go. That form of punishment is actually rooted in the penalty for a criminal offense outlined in Deuteronomy 25, verse 2. 40 lashes were prescribed for certain crimes. Over the years, the religious leaders incorporated this kind of flogging into their disciplinary procedures when somebody violated their synagogue laws. And because of that legalism, they reduced the number of lashes to 39, just in case they miscounted. However, it was still a very cruel form of punishment that God originally designed for criminals. And it was described in this way: with bared chest and in a kneeling position, one was beaten with a tripled strap of calf hide across both chest and back, two on the back for each stripe across the chest. Men were known to have died from this. Though it's difficult to comprehend this happening to Paul five times, evidently he refused to stop proclaiming the message of Christ in the synagogue. Perhaps when he was excommunicated from one, he went to another and another, hoping his hearers would listen to his witness about the Messiah. He certainly would have shared very specifically how he had orchestrated Stephen's death and then discovered his terrible mistake when Jesus Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus. Well, some believe Paul's body was marked for life because of those beatings. And there is some historical evidence Paul became bow-legged, which is a deformity among men who have been severely flogged. Yet, Paul rejoiced, like the apostles in Jerusalem, because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name, Acts 5:41. And for those of us that have been free from that kind of persecution, it's difficult to even grasp this intense dedication to presenting the gospel message. He goes on in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 25, to say this: three times I was beaten with rods, wrecked a night and day, I was adrift at sea. So, in the same passage in 2 Corinthians, Paul also refers to the fact that he was shipwrecked at least three times and spent a night and a day in the open sea. This may have also happened during his years in Tarsus. Once he was excommunicated from the synagogues, he probably traveled along the coastline by water, disembarking in small villages where he proclaimed the gospel to the Cilician Gentiles. He would support himself with those tent-making skills that he had. He carved out time to carry out the purpose for which God had called him, to go first to the Jews and then to the Greeks. And then he goes on, and this is in the next chapter, chapter 12 and verse 7. He says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." So he shares another experience in this letter to the Corinthians that happened sometime during his stay in Tarsus. Describing this experience, he gave a reference point where he stated that he knew a man who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. It's clear from the context that Paul is definitely referring to himself, but it's also clear that the 14 years point of reference places this experience somewhere between 41 and 43 AD, since he wrote this letter between 55 and 57 AD. This would put this very personal encounter with the Lord about midway during his ministry in Tarsus. And Paul describes this incredible experience in a very mystical way. There were aspects about it he didn't understand, even as he thought about it. For example, he suspicioned that may have been out-of-body experience, but he wasn't sure. Only God knows, he concluded. Though Paul was unsure whether he was in the body or apart from the body, he was confident that he was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. And that third heaven or paradise probably refers to the highest and most complete place where God dwells with the angels and those who have died in faith. The message Paul received was so glorious that words could not describe it, and even if he could have explained it, the Lord sealed his lips. Because this was such a private and awesome moment in God's presence, Paul was given a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment him. But Paul never described this thorn. We do know, however, that he prayed earnestly to have it removed. In his own words, Paul stated, "Three times I plead with the Lord to take it away." And God did not answer Paul's specific prayer, but reassured him with these words, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." We know another thing for certain about this experience. It happened in order to keep Paul from becoming prideful and arrogant. When he had seen and experienced in God's presence was such a remarkable privilege, so much so, he would not as a human being been able to keep from becoming conceited. And Bible scholars have speculated for years as to what that thorn would be. Some believe it was physical, a bodily weakness, such as poor eyesight. Some believe it was emotional, such as a tendency to be depressed. Others believe it was spiritual, a struggle with some form of serious temptation, maybe even sexual. The fact is, we don't know. Obviously, the Lord doesn't want us to know, or he would have told us. Perhaps he didn't want us to know so that we can relate to this experience generally. But we certainly can conclude from what we read that in addition to persecution, Paul was eventually going to face some serious and difficult temptations. And when it happened, God promised Paul that he would give him the strength and power to endure it. Furthermore, when this incomparable power enabled him to do miraculous things, even raising the dead, he would always be aware that it was God who had enabled him to work these miracles. The ever-present thorn would keep him humble. Thus, Paul concluded this paragraph with these words, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." 2 Corinthians 12:10.